So we're in the middle of a series, a big series of 3 weeks, and this is the second in the middle. But the series that we're doing for August is the Bible, how an ancient, ambiguous, and diverse book leads us to wisdom rather than answers, and why that is great news. So as we delve into this topic, we're discovering a Bible that first of all, challenges us and cheers us on as we walk along our own path of faith. Second, we're discovering a Bible that doesn't close the windows and lock the doors to keep us in, but rather invites us to risk and to venture forth beyond what is familiar to us and to seek God directly. Thirdly, we're discovering a Bible that gently urges us to see through and past the words on the page to what God is up to here and now. Fourth, we're discovering a Bible that encourages us and helps us to step out and to find God for ourselves. So are you ready for that kind of world every time you open the Bible? Yeah, I hope so. Last week we looked at and we considered 3 major characteristics of the Bible: ancient, ambiguous, and diverse. Characteristics to be embraced. And when we embrace those characteristics, then we get all the good stuff of those 4 things we lifted up. Now, I think most of you probably know, but it bears repeating, that the Bible is actually a library of 66 books that are put together under one book binding. And that's why it's so diverse, because it's written by many different people in many different circumstances and contexts. So today we're going to look at God's plan A, wisdom. Now I want to tell you a story. There's a happy and cheerful man. He once captured a bird. He placed it in a cage. And then he heard, "Give me my freedom, sir," cried the bird as the man shut the door to the cage. And startled that the bird was talking to him, the man listened as it continued. I'm of no use to you, sir. I have no beautiful feathers to look at. I'm not able to sing beautiful songs, and I'm too small to eat. And so, you know, if you promise to grant me my freedom, I will share with you 3 very wise teachings. Well, the man agreed, and whereupon the little bird told him, well, first, do not grieve over things that have already happened. Second, don't wish for that which is unattainable. And third, don't believe in that which cannot be possible. And the guy said, well, yeah, okay. Those are wise things that you have taught me. And so, as agreed, he opened the door of the cage and he set the little bird free. And the man sat and he pondered the bird's sayings, and the bird flew up to this branch high up in a tree. And after a few moments, the man heard the bird laughing. "Why do you laugh?" he called. He goes, "Well, because I won my freedom so easily." He said, "You humans pride yourselves on being the wisest of the creatures, yet I, a tiny bird, I've outwitted you. Within my belly lies a diamond the size of a hen's egg. If you had not let me go, you'd be a wealthy man." Well, whereupon you can imagine, the man, he was happy and he was cheerful, but all of a sudden he's angry, he's sad, he's depressed. And the more the little bird laughed, the angrier and the sadder and the more depressed the guy became. Well, after some time, the man started hurling abuse at the laughing bird as he attempted to recapture it, right? But to no avail, the little bird was always beyond his reach. Finally, the little bird called out, "Listen to me, O human. When you granted me my freedom, I gave you 3 teachings and you almost instantly forgot them. First, you shouldn't grieve over things that have already happened. But still, you're grieving that you gave me my freedom. Second, you shouldn't wish for things that you can't obtain, and yet you want me, for whom freedom is my whole life, to voluntarily enter a prison. And thirdly, you should not believe that which is impossible. And yet, you believe that I'm carrying about inside my body a diamond as large as a hen's egg, but I'm only half the size of a hen's egg myself." And with that, the little bird flew away. Wisdom. Wisdom in the first few verses of Psalms 107. We heard part of that read today. The writer lists what God has done for the people. You see, God provides guidance and food and water for Israel in their wilderness journey. God is bringing the people out of darkness and the shadow of death in verses 10 through 16. Verse 23 to 32, saving the people from great storms. And then the author says, God helps those in need, turning deserts into rivers for the needy. Verse 33 to 38. And the psalm concludes by saying, whoever is wise will pay attention to these things. They will consider the loving kindness of Yahweh. So what is this distinction of wisdom? Well, a certain bumper sticker had these words on it. A little bit, you know, bumper stickers, a little bit of humor here, but yet those zingers sometimes can get you. But it said, you're only young once, but you can be immature your whole life. So wisdom, it goes beyond knowledge and understanding and discernment. Wisdom actually is to put into action sound judgment based on these things so as to pursue a proper course of action. You know, so that what you think and say and act upon is in alignment with wholeness and well-being. In Proverbs, we hear in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, top priority. And later in Proverbs chapter 16, it says, wisdom is better than gold. In Ecclesiastes, we hear, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And later in Ecclesiastes, wisdom is better than strength. Job said, the price of wisdom is above rubies. In the New Testament, James raises this question, who's wise and endowed with knowledge among you? And he says, let that person show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. I may have told this story before, so see if you know it. It fits today. There was once a young hunter who had left his life of independence to join a spiritual community. And this man, he had a very difficult time adjusting to community life. As a hunter, he had lived a solitary existence. He made his own decisions. He often would spend all day alone and weeks alone in the wilderness. He had made his own choices, but in the community, see, he was constantly among other people, and there were often tension between the various personalities, and that was especially true when decisions had to be made that affected all the brothers. Now, inevitably, as you can imagine, someone didn't get their way, and the new brother felt frustrated when that someone turned out to be him more than a few times. Well, after a little while, the abbot of the community, he took the new brother aside for a walk, and he asked him about his former life. Tell me, said the abbot, when you were a hunter, how did you choose the material for your bow? Well, the hunter, who had been quite sullen and morose up to this point, he cheered up immediately and he began to explain the qualities of the different kinds of wood. He said, I always used yew for my bows because it's the strongest, it's the most resilient of the woods. It's much better than larch or cedar. A yew bow is incredibly powerful, he said. With it, my arrows would fly far and still be true. The abbot nodded and then asked, well, but if you're aiming for power, why not make your bow out of iron? Surely iron is stronger than you. Well, iron is strong. The hunter said, yeah, that's true. But he said, it lacks resilience. You can't bend an iron bow. It doesn't have the flexibility that you need. So you don't get the proper tension out of it. It's just too rigid. You know, you wouldn't even be able to draw such a bow. In fact, even if you could, it probably would just snap in two. Ah, I see, said the abbot. Then he looked the brother square in the eye and he said, son, like your bow, all the power in human relationships lies in the tension between two points. And places like this community are full of tension, but they're also full of great power. So, you know, no one wants to bend or give up their own way. That's just human nature, he said. But I've learned that when I yield, that's when I am really strong. Where the tension is the greatest, that's where the arrow flies the farthest. See, with this simple image The wise abbot was able to capture one of the most important lessons about human relationships, and to do so in a language that the new brother could easily understand. The story expresses what wisdom can look like in the here and now. As we simply enter into the Bible as an ancient and ambiguous and diverse book searching for wisdom in the here and now, it delivers something far better than answers. See, wisdom brings living in the energy of the divine creative force, you could say. Which you could also say, it's living in the presence of God's Spirit. Consider that the life of faith is the pursuit of wisdom. Jesus, who we follow, Jesus was a teacher of wisdom. In the gospel reading today, he quotes from the book of Exodus, in chapter 20, verse 13, "Thou shalt not murder." We go, okay, I know that. We know that, right? And everybody knew that back then, too. But then Jesus goes deeper. Even when we harbor and hang on to anger, when undercurrents of resentment smolder among us, we block the light of God. We head in the wrong direction, away from the power of light and love of God. So to follow this teaching, we need to have wisdom. That is naming and seeing the destructive nature of our thoughts and our actions and our words, and then wisely choose another route toward the light, toward the love, toward God. See, when we judge another, thinking to ourselves, well, what a fool, as the Bible, they quoted, right? The path of wisdom, going deeper, realizes the harm, it's the inner judgment, the harm that inner judgment does, not only to the person, right? Just labeled fool. Words do hurt, despite that little nursery rhyme, sticks and stones. Words can do major damage, is my experience. But in addition to that, it also, it does the judgment to our own heart and soul when we're holding that, when we're speaking that. And Jesus labels it sin, which is saying the definition of sin is simply missing the mark, being broken, being not whole. So the life of faith is a pursuit of wisdom. And as we approach the Bible, searching for, reflecting upon wisdom, we get launched, as it were, through the power of God's inbreaking presence into seeing and experiencing the Bible for what it really does. The Bible challenges us. It cheers us on as we walk our own path of faith. The Bible doesn't close the windows and lock the doors to keep us in, but rather it invites us to risk, to venture forth beyond what's familiar, to seek God directly. The Bible we see and experience, it gently urges us to see through and past the words on the page to what God is up to right here and now. The Bible encourages and helps us to step out to find God for ourselves in our lives here and now. See, John Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist movement, he always advised the followers of Jesus to search the Scriptures. See, it's in the searching that its wisdom power is most vibrant. And as we pursue a deep and active faith, we get used to the fact that God's presence comes not when we find the right answer, but when we embrace with courage and anticipation the way of wisdom. Amen.